Have you been told? Did you ever hear of the curious, furious, fidgety year when Santa Claus unhitched his sleigh and vowed he was taking a holiday? How do I know so much about Santa? Well, I'm Mrs. Claus.
Greetings and well met, travelers. You have found your way to Dragonreel, a magical journey to the realm of fantasy movies.
Welcome back to the Dragonreel podcast. This is episode 12, the very special episode where we cover the year without a Santa Claus. I'm Chris, and I'm going to speak in iambic pentameter for exactly 3 minutes, and then we'll pretend we didn't. In chair number two tonight, he would never name his kid Ignatius, it's Pete!
Hello! And it's true, even if we were going to call him Iggy.
Ignatius?
It's just cruel.
It is.
Even in the South.
I don't know, I think it sounded kind of smart.
It is Southtown, after all.
Thistlewhite.
Yeah, it's Southtown, and Iggy has a New Jersey accent, but we'll go into that another day.
Because Mr. Thistlewhite, he wanted a better life for his people.
Right. So in chair number three, some like it hot, but she likes it real hot. It's Sharon.
I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Sun.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were Mrs. Claus.
I'm sorry. I was reminiscing. Well, you introduced me as hot, so I had to go with Heat Miser.
Yeah. Hey, before we get started, I want to ask our listeners to do us a favor. Go to dragonreel.com, check out our podcasts and book reviews, and if you like what you see, go ahead and click on the product links that will take you to Amazon. Once you get to Amazon, you can shop for anything you want. You don't have to buy the items we link to, but it'll still help keep our show going on into the next year's worth of episodes. So, thanks in advance for all your help. So now let's talk about The Year Without a Santa Claus. This is the 1974 Rankin-Bass... what I used to call Puppetoon. I don't know if that was actually a word that they coined or that I just heard along
I
the way.
I think they did. I think they actually coined that.
Okay. Now, of course, I grew up with this.
Me too.
I grew up with it too. They were my favorite.
I must have seen it every year.
Little.
Yeah. I mean, every year this was part of the traditions that we followed back then.
And I think it's still pretty good. And so do the kids in my classroom. And they are 5 and 6, but still.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know. Do you want me to summarize it?
Let's talk about it. Yeah, you go ahead and summarize it.
Okay, I'm just going to do the quick summary.
Sure.
Okay. So The Year Without a Santa Claus is a movie about Santa becoming sick and the hilarity that then happens, and we'll have to see if he gets better or not, or if it's just his spirit that is, sad and feeling like he's unwanted. And then the whole story revolves around that.
Right.
That's the
So
movie.
Santa feels down...
Or if in a medicated state, he can make his way to Southtown.
Right.
Well, the doctor does come. I mean, he is sick.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's in bed, and he's
My favorite moment is when the doctor takes the thermometer that's already in his mouth out to put in his own thermometer.
Wait. Does he do that? Oh, my God.
Yes.
So here's the doctor. He's got this, like, very...
crotchety voice.
Tropey, kind of, like, grumpy voice. And I know this voice from somewhere, but here it is. It's fun.
Probably never got over the case of near pneumonia you picked up last year gallivanting around the world in your open sleigh.
Snap into a Slim Jim!
Gallivanting around the world in your open sleigh!
Do you want some of this?
He's
I think it's the same voice as the chief elf in Rudolph.
Yeah, it could be.
Herbie wants to be a dentist.
I'm sure this guy did voices for
for
cartoons.
Oh,
you
sure.
know, all through the 40s, 50s, 60s. Yeah.
But come on, he's the doctor that you love to hate because he's so mean
sure.
to Santa, and he actually makes Santa feel bad. He's like, nobody cares about you anyway. And
you suck, fat man. You're a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah.
he's not credited, whoever he is.
It's true.
Wow.
Because who wants to be?
Oh,
right.
I don't know. If I did that in 1974, I think I'd want credit because it's beloved by children.
What a glory hog.
Yeah, but really, you're kind of the villain of the story, aren't you? When it comes
to he really kind of started the Santa's hope. Hopeless feelings like, oh, nobody cares about, really? I'm useless?
Nobody
wow,
cares.
My, My whole life.
Let me have another hit off that bottle, Doc.
Yeah, maybe.
Nobody cares a hoot and holler, for you are Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, by the way, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah.
Wah,
have a
wah.
Nice day.
Bum, bum, oh, bum, bum.
Poor Santa. And then Santa's just lying there feeling so sad, and oh, it just brings back bad memories. I was always, like, crying for Santa in my heart.
It was a total cock punch on that guy's part, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so kids cannot listen to this because... Whoa.
So I will tell you the most little-known fact about this movie.
Do tell.
There was a remake.
Yes, what? With John Goodman.
Yes, with John Goodman in 2006.
Damn. How am I, Trivia Master?
I never saw
the pupil has become the master.
Wait. Hold the phone.
Hold the phone. Phone the hold.
Stop the presses.
How come I don't have it? How come
because it sucks.
It? Oh, it's terrible.
Okay. It has a 3.7...
But it's terrible.
Yeah, it has a 3.7 out of 10 rating on IMDb. It's got a 56 rating on Metacritic. I'm sorry, on Rotten Tomatoes. I couldn't even find it on Metacritic.
Wow.
So this is, you know, this is one of those things where, yeah, they remade a beloved classic in what looks like beat for beat exactly the same story. They stretched it out to 90 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, but I think this one holds up, and I will argue with you guys.
It holds up-ish. I'm just looking at the 2006 remake as a series of bad decisions.
I'm not going to argue with you that it holds up. I think it does, too.
Okay.
I think a lot of the Rankin and Bass stuff holds up. I just think, again, there's some parts of it are obviously very dated, like you were saying when we were talking earlier about comparing, say, Rudolph to this.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there's a 10-year gap between it, but Rudolph is phenomenally, you know,
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I didn't even want to show to my kindergarten kids. I did show it because
because Cornelius, hello.
Yeah, I said, I was talking to them about Rudolph, and they're like, who's Rudolph? I'm like, what? What?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh.
And they did not know who Rudolph is. I said, seriously, guys, you don't know who Rudolph is? And they said, no. They knew who Santa was.
The reindeer.
But, so I had to show them the story, and then they were horrified. They're like, why is that teacher being so mean to Rudolph? And I said, I know, right? You know, this is horrible. And you know, the coach is saying, we're not going to play with Rudolph anymore. Guys, don't let him play in your reindeer games. Oh, my goodness.
That's right, because by God, he was going to be brought up tough with a full 7 points on his antlers, baby.
I just...
There's no other namby-pamby hanging around. Oh, you feel so bad. No. Coach is right.
Goodness.
Coach is right.
And even Santa in the beginning of Rudolph. I know we're getting off track here a little bit, but... I mean, yeah, the Rudolph movie it's sexist. They're like, you women can't go look for Rudolph. You stay here.
They do anyway, and that's...
They do,
really
matter. Yeah.
But ultimately comes down to the fact that you go through all the Rankin and Bass stories, and they all ultimately hold up. Yeah. And it's mostly because they have really, really fun villains most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what carries the whole thing, really. It's Andy Rooney's voice as Santa.
Mickey.
Oh,
Mickey Rooney, sorry.
I still love
Do you ever really
voice.
Look?
I know, right?
And I don't know if Mickey Rooney did Santa in the Rudolph movie. I'm not sure.
No, he didn't. That's the only one that I think. He did it from Santa Claus is Coming to Town on up.
Yeah.
So, but for the most part, it's the fact that there's just such fun villains.
Okay, so
but ultimately, it stands the test of time because it has some really great characters in it.
Yes, I love Mrs. Claus' little dance when she puts on the Santa suit and she says that it's her fantasy.
Who doesn't love a good cross-dress dance?
I fantasized it a lot, you know.
So here's the thing about that, though, right? That was like 3 minutes of a 45-minute show, and it was like, nope, not going to do that. Okay, let's move on.
Well, she said to the elves, she said, oh, so it doesn't work, and...
Yeah, so she did this, like, whole routine, a song and dance, she started out with this kind of thing.
They thought it was Santa from the back.
They did think it was Santa from the back.
I bet I could be Santa Claus.
So then she does a little 3 minutes or 2 minute song, and then the elves see her like, Santa? Oh,
Mrs.
And,
Claus?
Oh, no, it's Mrs. Claus. Oh, it doesn't work? Okay, forget that whole 3 minute scene.
Oh, you didn't even play a bit of the song,
though. What is the New York City, New Jersey accents with all the elves and the people in Southdown?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Also, did you get the feeling that in Southdown there was a fair amount of nepotism just from the sheer facial hair? Because those mustaches looked an awful lot alike. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Maybe there was a town ordinance on mustache trimmings.
Perhaps, I don't know. But the mayor or the judge or whomever had that really impressive handlebar thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, there was a little throwback to some 50s joke routines, because when the elves call...
Jingle. Yeah.
Yeah, Jingle and Jangle.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Claus. Yes, Mrs. Claus. Okay, Mrs. Claus. Sure thing, Mrs. Claus. Right away, Mrs. Claus.
Was it?
Who was that?
Oh. That was... Come on.
I
want to get you.
Why, I realize, though, that me growing up during that time, my dad was a huge fan of a lot of the comedians who show up in these Rankin and Bass things, like Dick Shawn.
Dick Shawn is really great in this. So I've got two kudos for this movie, and one of them is Dick Shawn.
Oh, definitely. As Snow Miser, forget about it.
Yeah, and the other is Mickey Rooney. And I don't really... I'm not a huge fan of Mickey Rooney. But
Mickey Rooney on Cold Medicine is phenomenal.
I really kind of like what he did here.
I love Santa's voice in this.
Yeah.
That's totally Santa's voice. Nobody else could do it. Yeah. Like,
so here he is. I've got a little sample of Santa here.
Yay.
Do I look like I'm up to something?
No, you don't look like you're up to something, but... Whenever you look like you're not up to anything, you're up to something. What are you up to, Ma?
So I think he just nails it here.
Oh, that was...
Totally.
I mean, like, 100% hands down. And I think, like, that those kind of scenes, it never gets old for me. I'm just sitting here, and I'm smiling, because it just brings back those warm cocoa memories of... magical playfulness in my heart.
Might I also throw out hooray for bald Santa?
Oh, was he bald?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Full beard, bald head.
Yeah, and that's because his obesity has damaged his circulation enough.
Well, God!
It threw off his testosterone also, so that's part of the thing, endocrine
problems. My kids explained why Santa's heavy to me today. They gave me the complete reason.
Because he's so full of Christmas spirit.
Well, they said, Miss Dudley, you know Santa's kind of fat. And I said, I kind of like a guy that you can squish. And they said, but do you know why? And I said, I always want to know what they think. So I said, tell me why Santa's fat. And they said, because everyone leaves him cookies.
Diabetes.
So, all those cookies. I mean, chocolate chip cookies, Oreo cookies, butter cookies. I mean, and all around the world stopping at everybody's house with kids.
Whoa. Hold the phone. There are cookies made just simply out of butter?
No, they're called butter.
Holy cow! No, forget it.
The president must be informed.
Exactly. Oh, I'm all over this.
So the who was that and the up to something jokes were kind of that old sort of Three Stooges vaudevillian kind of humor.
Yes.
It was, I don't know, it could have even been from a Mickey Rooney movie.
It could have been, but ultimately I think the reason for moments like that is to bring in the adults.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so is to touch on their childhood.
You're up to something,
so,
you know. You look like you're up to something.
Who was that? Well, that was Miss...
Oh, yeah, I oughta.
Kind of, I oughta... Gilligan!
Gilligan, yeah, I love that. So then... What happens after Santa's sick is Mrs. Claus sends the elves down to
Jingle and Jangle, number one and number two.
To Southtown.
Does Jangle actually say he's number two?
And he's not
says
even funny.
Jangle.
He is Jingle. Such the number two elf. It's number one elf, Jingle. And it was number two elf, Jangle.
Yeah, they say it.
Okay.
But they're sent
total
down.
Number two, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Make it so, number two.
Yes. So they're supposed to go to Southtown to dig up Christmas cheer to find out if people really love Santa.
Right. And the first thing they run across is they run afoul of Southern law.
Ow!
As according to this guy right here.
Riding a vixen the wrong way on a one-way street.
Whoa!
Crossing the white line and wearing funny-looking suits on a Sunday.
Look.
Tell it to the judge.
Tell it to the judge.
I lost my hat, Daddy. Junior!
Okay.
Yes, but I think that riding a vixen the wrong way up one-way street, that's filthy.
It is.
I think it made sense to the kids because they're like, oh.
Well, no.
No, I mean that it was a police officer and he, gotcha. I don't know. I have no idea.
Is he using his authority?
I'm just trying to defend. Mm-hmm. I love these movies. It doesn't even bother me that they were getting that they were going to get arrested or get a ticket for, you know, wearing elf clothes. Because...
My other question is, if you're going to send your top two elves on a secret mission, why would you send them with one of the youngest reindeers?
Maybe Mrs. Claus thought Santa wouldn't miss Vixen. And apparently the elves aren't that big, so they didn't need, like, the big, you know. I mean, because when Mrs. Claus takes the reindeer, she takes the bigger one. And when Santa, you know, he's
also,
pretty, yeah, substantial. So,
but what I'm saying is you've got two passengers.
Right.
You've got, obviously, other big reindeer. Mm. Why not take a big reindeer? Plus, when Mrs. Claus shows up, doesn't she come in a sleigh? Does she have like, a single-person sleigh drawn by a reindeer?
I don't know. I'm the blind person in this
Yeah, podcast. I think she did show up in the sleigh.
Yeah, in a sleigh, not a sleigh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many reindeers were pulling the sleigh?
Just the one, I think.
One.
I think just the one.
Yeah.
Okay. But I asked you during the movie, I said, are all of them fitting on one reindeer? And you didn't answer me, so maybe you didn't understand why I was asking the question.
Or maybe you didn't actually say it out loud.
Oh, I thought I did. So she was in a sleigh then.
Yeah, but that's later.
Okay.
But again, it's one of those things where that just seemed really odd to me. Why would you? It's like, we need some kind of Deus Ex Machina later. Oh, I know. We'll give them the youngest of the reindeer to carry two of them down to the south where it can potentially get sick because it's not used to the warm weather.
Yeah, and that's where I feel that I'm disagreeing with the two of you on whether this holds up or not. I found it a little
dull. What? Excuse me?
Yeah, okay. I did.
Wait, let's just explain the whole reindeer thing because I have a great explanation. In D&D, when somebody hires you to do a quest, they don't tell you how to accomplish it. So Mrs. Claus just said, look, you two elves, I need you to go down to Southtown and dig up some Christmas cheer. I want husband to know that he's loved. I'm not
right, but that's part of the problem.
Yeah, but she wasn't giving them instructions. They're just elves that live in Santa's castle in the North Pole.
Yeah,
so
but they
don't know.
She gives them complete discretionary power over the entire mission. They go to the single most inhospitable place in America.
Well, because
they had to go riding the youngest of the reindeer.
Yeah.
Well, they were inexperienced. They were like level one D&D players. So you got to, you know.
Might I also say that this may be the first official crossover podcast moment we've had?
What, gaming and fantasy movies?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is.
This is an RZP as well as a.
Yeah, I mean,
a Dragon Rail.
Well, before you know it, Aquaman's going to be in a Batman comic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Why did you have to go there?
He talks to fish all day, and he loves it.
What were you saying, Sharon?
Okay, I was just saying that I think they're even though they're the head elves, what do they know about? Well, they know about making toys, but they don't. You have to kind of suspend your disbelief, gentlemen, because I mean, you guys aren't 5-year-olds. I think this movie was made for little kids who believe in Santa. Like, I think it's really aimed at 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. You know, obviously, so. You know, they don't know about living in a city. They just know that, you know, humans are there. And then I guess they know enough to disguise their reindeer as a dog because they put socks on his antlers.
Yeah, Jangle socks on her antlers.
Yeah, so that people think it's a pooch because he says that. Let's make it look like our pooch.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that – but I still think that as – the number one elf, you would choose a hardier reindeer to take you into the south. I just feel like that would be the case. Because obviously, who is it that Santa takes in? Because whatever reindeer he takes in is like the stealth reindeer of the century.
Mm-hmm.
He's had like ninja training.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like he steps out of... No, he like steps out of bushes and he's slid back into them so perfectly that his antlers look like parts of these bushes.
Wow.
You know, it's stuff like that. It's like,
amazing.
Oh, reindeer, you know, kind of thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess maybe that might be a little tiny hole, but see, they needed the two elves to get in trouble, so they
could
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Deus Ex Machina.
What's the boy's last name? Ignatius.
Thistlewhite.
So they needed to introduce the Thistlewhite family. Now, I'm surprised that neither one of you are talking about the point where the kids are playing and Santa Claus
here,
walks
in fact,
up.
In fact, here it is.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what wait. Name? You want that one, okay?
Yeah.
Haven't you heard the news? Santa's taking a holiday.
Yeah, it was in all the papers.
Well, you don't seem to be very upset about it.
Upset? Why should I be upset?
Yeah, what's the big deal?
You mean you don't care if Santa Claus comes or not? None of you?
Nah.
Oh! Oh! Shot
is that the one you're talking about?
Actually,
there's
no.
Cock punch number two.
that's not actually the one I meant. I meant when Santa Claus walks up to the kids.
Oh, which this
later,
one right here.
My name's Ignatius Thistlewhite. Everybody calls me Iggy. What's yours?
Klaus.
What can I do for you, Mr. Klaus?
Klaus?
Okay. Now,
well, Mr. Manfredson Jensen.
This stranger just walks up to kids, which, you know, even today we tell kids, don't talk to strangers, okay?
Yes, but every child has the innate desire to speak to Santa Claus.
Right, but they're not supposed to know.
But that's it. It's innate. It's they don't.
Subconscious.
It's not conscious. Yeah.
Oh. And then the mom opens the door and is like,
bring that homeless guy in here.
Is that you who sneezed? Bring him in our house.
Bring that sick homeless guy inside. We'll talk
he's
about
really
it.
He's really well appointed, though. It's not like he's a hobo.
Right.
He's wearing like a nice double vested, you know, he's got this nice vest with a pocket watch and a nice coat and everything.
Does he look like a
and
professor?
A polar hat.
Okay.
He looks like a professor of Christmas.
Oh,
I like that.
I like that too. A professor.
He may even be the professor emeritus of Christmas.
Yes. but there's a. I've always enjoyed, and I have to admit, I'm a very emotional person. But
she cries for that song.
But I cry when they sing, "Do you believe in Santa Claus?" And it always chokes.
Don't sing
me
too
up.
Much of it. We'll have to pay royalties.
Right.
It chokes me up because, you know, being a kindergarten teacher, I just think we should keep the magic alive. And, and also my mom spoiled Christmas for me. She'll never listen to this podcast, so I can say it. I found some presents in the back room, and I asked her, and she's like, well, it's and she couldn't lie. I'm like, I was just hoping, like, please tell a friggin' lie so I can believe in Santa. And I'm like, really? Is Santa not real? Are you and Dad Santa? And she's like, Mom, you know, and like,
what about the Easter bunny?
And she didn't say anything. And I was like, really? The Easter bunny too? I'm like, I'm not even asking about the Tooth Fairy. Forget it.
My life has been lies, nothing but lies.
I was so upset. My life ended. I think I was 4 or 5, and it was like.
My son, when he was nine, we were driving from Ithaca to Rochester along back roads, and he started grilling me about Santa Claus.
Mm.
And I finally looked over at him, and I said, is there something you want to ask me? And he said, okay, is Santa real? And I said, how real do you want him to be? And he goes, that's not an answer! I said, well, you know, Santa's as real as the question.
Wow.
You know, it's just...
I know I've said wow three times already, but...
But the thing was, is the year before I had done this thing, there's this book by William Joyce, we talked about it on the Rule Zero podcast, called Santa Calls. And there's a very stylized SC when Santa Claus signs the letters. And my son wanted Heelys, and so I gave him a coupon from Santa with the SC on it, and I had my friend Steve mock up a stamp for the wax on the back of the letter. And we actually went into like a Famous Footwear to get the Heelys, and the cashier said, how will you be paying? And he goes, I believe we have, and he whips it out of his pocket, a coupon?
Oh, you're just an amazing dad.
And he slaps that on the counter, and I had to palmer my credit card so that he wouldn't see.
Wow.
Okay.
That is just lovely. Stupendous.
It's not just the fact that you believe that he's a person, it's the that you believe in the spirit of him.
Yeah, absolutely. So we watched this with two 13-year-old kids, and I think they're both really smart kids. And they said, "Oh, this is good. I think I was really into it." So they didn't want to, like, you know, they didn't want me to feel bad. They were watching it, and Tabitha said the animation is a little creepy. Miss Sharon, I'm just
no. She
being
said
honest.
Their mouths were creepy.
Yeah,
their mouths were creepy. I'm not gonna lie, but especially Ignatius with his like incredible beaver type.
Yeah, that was really distracting. I couldn't stop looking at his teeth.
Mikey incisors.
Did he have a bit of a overbite?
An overbite. Oh, yeah.
Pronounced overbite, yes.
Oh, well.
What can I do for you, Mr. Klaus?
Mr. Klaus. So Santa Claus comes and then Ignatius does believe. You know, his father says, you know, I thought I was too old. And he sings this beautiful song,
right.
And then.
So,
then
Ignatius, but here's the thing, though, right? Yeah. Ignatius and his whole family has, you know, empirical proof of the existence of Santa Claus. He's right frickin' there.
Yes.
Well, but they don't know
they
that's
just,
him.
Yeah, they do.
He takes off on a reindeer.
Right.
Okay.
They
well,
know
later,
it's him.
Later, they do.
So how hard is it going to be to just say, "Hey, Santa, come around here. I want you to meet a few people. Hey, guys, Santa Claus is real. So, you know, how about some Christmas shit?"
Chris, that isn't how the magic works. What the hell's wrong with
right.
you?
Right. No, you've got to go up in the clouds and talk to a couple of, okay. you know, magical sky fairies. To,
yes.
You know.
And I object to the use of fairy because
yeah.
they're clearly elementals.
Yes.
They're Captain Cold and Heat Wave.
Yeah. Can we skip along to that because that's my okay? So the mayor says, "Look, you dudes got to make it snow here in Southtown, right?" So then, you know, and the mayor laughs at them and says, "Okay, so you're a couple of elves working for Santa, ha ha ha, and you're riding a reindeer." But then he says, "Okay, I'll believe you if you can make it snow here in Southtown." So then they call Mrs. Claus and they go to
well, that's too much detail. They have to go on a quest and they have to talk to Cold Miser and Heat Miser.
Yeah, they have to go on a quest.
Can I also the fact that the mayor easily outweighs Santa Claus and manages to move around on these spindly little legs.
Yeah, actually, that was the part of the animation that Dawson had a problem with, was their legs were just, like, freakishly tiny.
Yeah, no, they were spindly. But especially the mayor's, like, he's two Santa Clauses wide. But he's got these spindly little legs. It's like walking. It's like watching a stork who got caught in an electrical storm.
I don't see, it didn't bother me in the 70s, and now I'm blind, so, like, I just hear the voices. So maybe this is a better movie for blind kids? I don't know. I don't want to say
that. No, it's not even so much that. It's just that, you know, again, the mayor's effusive, and he's supposed to be the quote-unquote kind of bad guy in this.
But can I just say, my kindergarten kids did not complain about the animation, and they were pretty much riveted.
That's cool. And it's important that they were, because, again, it's one of those things where it's held up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing that I'm wondering is, you know, modern 5-year-olds in a day when, you know, they've got, you know, cartoons on demand and SpongeBob, you know, 24 hours a day, what's this going to look like to them?
They begged to watch the second half.
Okay.
I'd also like to point out that SpongeBob did a Rankin and Bass episode.
Did he really?
He really did.
That's awesome.
I teach you not. So, yes. Okay. Even in today's thing, even, you know, the guys like Derek Drymon still totally huge fans of Rankin and Bass.
Well, Rankin and Bass were pretty influential. That's, you know, what is it? Jules Rankin and...
I remember.
Bass?
Bass?
Who's the Bass? Arthur. It's Jules Bass and Arthur Rankin. I knew one of them was Jules.
Jules Bass.
I will
Rankin.
Tell you that if my kids hadn't seen
it.
Rudolph, I wouldn't have showed it because I just think it's so mocking. Not this one, but Rudolph is not very kind to anybody with a disability or, you know, people that are different in any way. I mean, in the end, it comes out okay because Rudolph guides Santa's sleigh. But I just
are you talking about Rudolph again?
I'm sorry. I went.
We're trying to keep to a year without a Santa Claus here. I'm sorry.
Year without a Santa Claus. Okay. So, but this one, I mean, And there's very strong female roles in A Year Without a Santa Claus. I mean, Mother Nature is the top. Well, we're skipping ahead because we've got to go.
We are skipping ahead, but that's okay. We're going to. So this sums up all of Cold Miser right here in his, you know, in this one sentence in his song. This, I'm sorry, Snow Miser.
Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. I'm too much.
The inimitable Dick Shawn.
The legendary Dick Shawn, and especially I'm too much. Really very true words never spoken.
Mm-hmm. George Irving, who played the Heat Miser,
phenomenally good actor and comedian,
does great at this.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun, I'm Mr. Heat Blister, I'm Mr. 101.
George Irving, absolutely amazing guy, shows up in Dirty Dancing as the guy who runs the summer resort.
Wow.
Does a stand-up bit in that movie.
Huh. And,
that's the same guy?
Phenomenal. Same guy.
So here's the most surprising thing about this movie to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are in it who aren't dead yet.
Who?
Well, I mean, like, everybody who was in this was, like, already an established veteran of, you know, of Hollywood.
Right.
George Irving is actually alive still.
Oh, my God, he is?
He's 93.
He has to be.
Oh.
What about Shirley Booth?
We should write to some of these
Shirley
people.
Shirley Booth is...
Because this is an amazing...
Oh, my God.
She died in 92.
I would love to interview Dick Shawn and George Irving.
Oh, Dick Shawn died a long time ago.
Oh, no, he died in the 70s, didn't he?
Yeah.
Balls.
Oh. that's sad.
I think he died on stage.
I would still love to interview George Irving. I think that would be a hell of a thing.
I can still see the dances for Cold Miser and Heat Miser in my head. So talk about staying power.
Well, that and the fact that you let two guys who are established stand-up comedians, established thespians and musical theater guys, you just let them, you put them in front of a microphone and go, here are the words, go.
Yeah.
And you get Dick Shawn going, as he's spinning around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. yeah. And then, I don't know, I love too how, you know who's in charge then. It's Mrs. Claus. And she's, you know, their boys are arguing with each other. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to help you. You know, you're...
Oh, it's not Mrs. Claus. It's Mother Nature. Maybe.
Well, yeah, but she says to the whole gang, to the elves and to the two Freeze Miser and, I mean, wait, Heat Miser and
Snow
Miser. She's like, you know, I hate to do it, but I'm just going to, you know, go above your heads. And she's like, now you've done it. Now you've done it, you frosty, whatever he calls it.
This was the best part of the back and forth here. This is the favorite part that I captured right here.
Okay.
Hello? Snowy, this is Mrs. Claus.
Hi there, Sugar Plum. How'd you make out with a hothead?
I heard that, you snowball.
Oh, my goodness. Speak of the devil.
So then she gets them both in trouble with their mom.
Which I love, especially when they're standing behind her, shaking their fists at each other.
I won't do it!
Me neither!
Stop it! Stop it!
Yes, Mother dear.
They're really nice boys, Mrs. Claus.
Now I swear I heard a person saying "whoosh" in the lightning.
Oh, was that Pete?
No, on the show, on the.
I like
movie.
The way that you blame me for stuff.
Oh, I thought it was you.
Something
I'm
went
sorry,
wrong.
Pete. See, I love this because, like, who's in charge? Who's in charge here?
Who's the man here?
Oh no, not that one.
You are, Mother.
I mean the fact that it's the mom, the mom who's in charge.
Uh huh.
There you go.
And
praising Mother.
She's Mother Nature.
Yes.
I mean, who's higher than Mother Nature?
I don't know. Santa Claus with all that NyQuil, probably. Way.
Hey.
So.
I really need to get a rim shot here.
What? A what? Okay, this is a family. There might be kids listening to this in the car.
Oh,
okay.
All right. So anyway.
Shocked.
So Mother Nature.
Mother Nature makes them get along and makes them trade off.
And then, you know, Santa gets a holiday and all the children around the world give Santa gifts.
Well, more to the point, it snows in Southtown. And the polar ice caps melt.
Yeah, so it's huge.
Do we have to go there? I mean...
No, we don't have to go.
Suspend your disbelief. I mean, there are things in D&D that we have to suspend.
So here the mayor, I have a clip of the mayor being so amazed that it snows, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, get on us.
Is this the what?
What's that? Don't forget to wear my what?
My what?
Galoshes? What on earth for? Oh, it's snowing, is it?
Oh,
in that case, I'll...
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I tell you.
Chris.
What?
Oh. Say again. No, galoshes. Right. Okay, I don't want to get yelled at for talking about Rudolph when it's in the same animation style and you're playing stuff from Archer and...
Pulp Fiction.
Who's the man here? Okay. I mean, who's in charge? The mayor gets his because it's snowing in Southtown, and then Santa gets an official.
It's like every moment in this show they could start breaking out in song, you know, it's snowing in Southtown.
Yeah. You know, but you know, here's my question.
Whatever it takes,
hasn't Santa already had like 364 days off?
He has, but that's not the problem.
It's around the year.
Oh,
that's the whole thing. You have to realize he's got a stockpile in advance.
Right.
It takes an actual declaration by a mayor to give Santa a holiday. Like, he hasn't had one every year for the last 2,000 years.
Okay, I'd like to point out that not only that, but it's all a dream in the end.
How so?
Listen to the end song.
I don't have it, so what do you...
Something, Santa jumped out of bed and he said, I've had the most disturbing dream.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Turns out
I've never, ever, ever, ever thought that. Now I'm going to have to...
So it's all a lie!
All a lie. It's Dallas all over again.
Bobby's alive!
Bobby's alive this whole time. Fallon never left on board that spaceship.
That's
Dynasty.
Missing.
Sorry. That was Dynasty.
I think you're mixing Dynasty and
Dallas.
That was Dynasty, sorry.
And which one was JR on?
Dallas.
I get it confused. Okay. All right.
So your thoughts, Sharon, are that this holds up.
Yes.
And Pete, you think the storytelling holds up as well?
I think for the most part it holds up. There are obviously flaws that you can see now, especially being older and stuff like that. But overall, the animation, the bad guys, it's all still very entertaining.
I thought the animation on this one was a little bit choppier than in the other ones. I felt like it was kind of rushed. Like, the other ones had the same style of animation, but they seemed to have been done better.
But to me, it was very reminiscent of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The styles are almost exactly alike. I mean, they're frighteningly alike. Now, I understand where you're coming from.
It might have been made in the same year, too.
No, that was four years earlier.
70?
So, but it could have been the same, like, it could have been the same cinematographer, the same assistant director, or whomever, you know? But I see what you mean by some of the choppiness to it. There's a little bit more of a rigidity, an almost mechanism feel to it, but I don't feel it detracts anyway from it.
So those little homunculi that both Snow Miser and Heat Miser have are never addressed or explained.
That's fine.
Like, what are they?
What do you mean, I don't even...
There
know
are, like...
Little versions of Heat Miser and Snow Miser.
Oh,
they have, like, an army of themselves.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know what that's from.
All homunculi.
Because when I was little, those are the backup singers. They were very important.
Right, no, they are the backup singers, but what the hell are they?
They're just the magical backup singers. Because when you're a kid, you always have to have backup singers. When I was on the porch with my sisters, I was the main singer, and you have backup singers. Of course, you just do. Diva here.
Now, I accept that, but I also want to throw in that, obviously, since Heat Miser and Snow Miser are elementals, they're higher hit dice elementals than the ones that are around them.
Yeah. Yes.
So these are just lower hit dice elementals.
Yeah, they're sort of elementals. All
right.
They're like his younger brother's clones.
Sure.
I don't know. It's sure. really not important to the story, but they're
ultimately they're this source of life that Elsa uses to bring, you know, Olaf.
Right. and that's important. Literally. And
so every time she creates a snowman, one of those
that
dies.
That lives, one of those dies.
Gotcha.
My kids are crazy about Frozen.
So we've talked for an hour about a 45-minute show.
Yeah, can we rate this?
Sharon, what would you give The Year Without a Santa Claus, scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces?
I'm going to give this movie 4 gold coins and a cookie for Santa.
There you go.
Yep,
okay.
4.
I don't have a sound for the cookie, though.
Cookie.
Because I still feel the magic.
Cookie made out of pure butter.
A butter.
All right, Pete. What about you? What are you going to rate The Year Without a Santa Claus?
I'm giving it a solid 4 gold.
Wow.
And I'm also giving it 2 Hanukkah gilt.
That's another. Okay.
So, Chris Dudley.
Yes.
Who, by the way, has the same name as Santa.
That was the thing, yes.
Chris Kringle. My kids actually said, wait a minute. But they said you didn't have a white beard.
Come on, old Chris Kringle. Down the way.
All right, well, I am going to give The Year Without a Santa Claus 3 gold.
Oh! Chris.
Tell you what, I'll give it 4 gold. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
But one of them is actually gold foil covering chocolate.
There you go. Bam! So you gave it 4 Hanukkah gilt.
There you go.
So, I just want to know, why 3? What did you think?
It's just not that good
anymore. Breaking my
it's job. Not a 4. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling the 4.
Oh, I'm feeling the 4. Because in to this day, if I walk into any large grouping of my family, I can just sit there and say, I'm Mr. Snow Miser. I'm Mr. And they'll finish the song.
Yes.
Yeah,
all
I agree. It's got the recognition factor.
But it's because of the hold-up factor. It's the fact that it's got fun songs and great bad
I mean,
guys.
But also, if I walk into a room full of people that I know and I say, I have had it, one of them is going to say, with all the motherfucking snakes...
On this motherfucking plane.
Exactly. That's not a measure of quality.
Wait, are you comparing Snakes on a Plane to The Year Without a Santa Claus?
He's trying to, but he's failing miserably.
I disagree for the Christmas.
You see, the difference, Chris, is that it's people whom you know, so they're your peerage, whereas I can walk into my family group, which ranges in age... from 14 to 80, and all of them can sing that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will say it's just not as interesting as it was, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
As you grow older, you can lose interest in it. It's just
it goes slow.
We also need to say Chris doesn't love Christmas. It's Christmas is not Chris's holiday.
Well, of course not. It's Sol Invictus.
So this year,
remember to keep the Chris in Christmas.
And he was out driving in traffic and tried to take me to the mall, and then we came home and saw this. So Chris was in a little bit of a... I think it was his mood a little bit. I'm just saying. I'm trying to make excuses for
him,
folks. Everyone has the right to give a movie a 3 if they want to.
Without judgment.
Chris, it's fine that you gave this movie a 3, but I just want to tell you, I know where you sleep.
I gave it a 4, I told you that.
It's fine that you're a miserly old curmudgeon.
I am a curmudgeon. I'm definitely a curmudgeon.
I'm such a curmudgeon, I didn't care for Force Awakens. Go figure.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
So, are we still going to do Excalibur next?
Yes, our next movie is going to be Excalibur. We were going to do it for this one, but then Christmas happened, and we went, hey, let's do Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fun.
Yeah. So that's why this is a special episode. Because it actually turns us into liars in our previous episode.
Woohoo!
And this is our 12th episode coming out in the 12th month.
Yes. Nice! Wow!
So,
yeah,
nicely lined up there.
Dang!
That's very lucky.
So next Christmas we have to be doing our 25th episode.
On the 25th.
So that it can be on the 25th.
Oh, nice.
Think of that.
I like that idea.
Wouldn't that be a convergence of things? So thanks for joining us for this one.
Yes, thank you. Keep the cookies and milk flowing.
Go ahead and check out the musician who does the music for this show. We are using music by Maggie Sansone. We got her verbal permission to do this. You can check her out on maggiesmusic.com.
Hey, Maggie.
She's great.
And join us next time. And until then, have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work.
Or storming the North Pole.